Good morning, and welcome to Cornerstone. Happy Mother's Day to you mothers. Any of y'all mothers get breakfast in bed this morning? No? You got? Oh, really?
Yeah,
awesome. Cool. Anybody else get anything special this morning? A hug, a kiss, something like that? Your moms are special to us. We appreciate you. Would you stand up with us? And this song here is really upbeat, and the name of the song is Wake. So if you're not awake, wake up. And we're going to show you this little simple move we do here. You put one hand up, put the other one up, and you do this. Is that, can y'all do that? All right, here we go. You didn't forget yet how to do it.
Where we walk, there you'll be, with fire in our eyes.
did good. Before you're seated, take a moment to greet your neighbor. Shake your hand. Tell them you're glad to see them.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. Wasn't that good way to start out this morning?
Amen.
We actually clapped on beat. I don't think we've done that before. That was awesome. Okay, glad you're awake now. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers that are with us. We are so glad you're here. If you kind of snuck in late, like many of you did, there is a corner in the back of the church that's got food and all sorts of neat things just for the moms. Yeah, it's a mom's table.
I was going to make sure you made that clear.
Yeah, just for the moms. And not only that, there's a little card on there that you can pick up for a free smoothie down at Cones and Coffee. So if you take it to George's, he'll make you sign it, and you can get a free smoothie at Cones and Coffee on us. So we just want to do that to thank you. And since it is Mother's Day, I've got an obligation to make the mothers cry. So I've got a video for you. Let's watch this video, and then I'll do the rest of the announcements. So now that I made a few of you cry, see a few tears. Man, time really does fly by. And it makes you think about the spiritual legacy that we are all leaving for our children. So on this Mother's Day, I challenge you to think about that spiritual legacy that you are leaving. And it may be your children, maybe your grandchildren, whatever the family. Just really think about what we leave behind. So this morning, I want you to be happy. We made you cry. Now it's time to be excited about what God is doing, what God is going to do through you. We've got a few other announcements. If you look at your worship guide, I'm not going to read all of them. There's a bunch in here. Several things. One that's not in here, the men's retreat, the shoot and cue that we had for yesterday got rained out. It's going to be rescheduled to, I think, later in June. So we'll let you know the date on that. We've got the worship night on May 24th coming up. This is going to be awesome. We've got summer life group starting, and we're trying to do a little experiment here during our summer. We've got each week we're going to have discussion questions based on the sermon available for the life groups. And so some of the groups are just getting together to hang out, do some fun stuff together, and then go through, spend some time discussing that week's sermon, and just really building relationships throughout the summer. So if you're interested in life groups and leading or hosting one, let us know. We've got Church League softball. We've got some serving projects coming up. We're going to be fixing the roof. We showed you some pictures of that a few weeks ago. We're still trying to work out the details on that. And then on June 8th, it's hard to believe, but on June 6, 2004, Cornerstone had its first service in Phelps Park. And so what we're doing, we're going back to Phelps Park for our 10-year celebration. We're having one service that morning, combined first and second services. We're going to have a service at 10 that morning. So you have to get the 11 o'clock service. You guys have to back up an hour, get a little bit extra start there. We've got a potluck lunch at 12, and then we're going to hang out and play at the park till whenever we get tired and go home. So it's kind of save the date. Be ready for that. It's going to be awesome. Just to think back through what God has done over those 10 years. We met at Up to Par. We met at Oakland. We met at Gladeville Elementary School, and we ended up here. Anyway, that's June 8th. Just kind of mark that on your calendars and get ready for that. Before we continue on, would you guys join me in prayer? And let's focus on what God is going to speak into our lives this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come into this place. We thank you that on this Mother's Day, that we can be thankful for mothers who have left a spiritual legacy in our lives. And so for that, Lord, we are thankful. We praise you. I pray that you will continue working through the families in this church to make a huge difference in this community. Lord, we got so much to be thankful for. Thankful for 10 years of ministry and service here in this community that you have blessed us with. And the over 100 people that have been baptized, many more who have been saved, and many lives who have been changed by the influence and the service of this church, Lord. We thank you for that. And so this morning I pray that you would just help us as we continue through the rest of this service, that we can just kind of clear our minds and focus on what you want to speak into our lives. And Lord, may we just be able to worship you this morning in spirit and truth. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Just a little bit more on the about the night of worship, the uprising. That is May 24th, and it's at the Rex Theater. There will be four groups there. It will be Cornerstone, Christ Chapel, Cliffview Church of God, and Out of the Box from Hillsville. And those guys really got some really good musicians. It will be a great night of worship. It starts at 6:30. The doors open at 6, so if you want a good seat, get there early. And it is free, so bring everybody you know. Tell everybody you know. Invite them. Bring them. Let's pack it out. I think we had like 200 there last year, but we want to try to fill it out. So, again, if you come to that, it's going to be an awesome night of worship. Just join us for that. And if you'd stand with us, we're going to continue. Let's praise God this morning.
With everything. With everything, we will shout for. Your praise.
To the cross I look, to the cross I flee, of its suffering I do dream, of its work I do see. On it my Savior both bruised and crushed, show that God is love and God is just. The cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words. You.
Father God, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for music and what it does to our hearts, Lord, that it draws us closer to you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for our mothers. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive that which Mike has to say, that you would speak through him, and that draws closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I can't do anything right. No wonder my boss won't promote me and my wife doesn't respect me. God's not finished with me yet. I can be the man he created me to be at work and at home. I can't believe he's acting like that. What a jerk. He must be having a really hard day. Maybe God put me here to make a difference in his life. I just can't stop doing this. I'm so frustrated with myself. I will always be this way. I can do this through Christ's strength. He will help me overcome. Succeeding at the big things has a lot to do with the little things. Thoughts, words, actions.
So last week we started a new series called Small Things, Big Difference. And we're talking really about change, about transformation that takes place in our life. And if you remember from last week, if you were here, I talked about two things. We've got to take some things out of our life, and we need to replace them with some better things. And for many of us, I think, you know, it's interesting. I talked to quite a few people this week about the message, and I heard that it's kind of hard to boil things down to one thing to work on in life, because when we step back, we evaluate our life, there's lots of things that need fixing. There's lots of things that need kind of correcting and that need changing. But here's the reality of this whole series, and I hope that you get it. It's kind of the point we're going to continue to make. It's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. And what I mean by that is your life is a series of choices. Your life is a series of decisions that you make, and each one will either bring you closer to God or take you farther away. And we kind of look at the big things in life that need to change, and sometimes we don't realize that those big things are a result of thousands of smaller decisions. And so what we're doing in this series is we're just really focusing in. How do we change? What does it look like? And how do we do that? This morning, we're talking about how we change our thoughts, how we change the way we think. Now, here's the danger in talking about the way we think and talking about thinking good thoughts. It's very easy for a message on thinking good thoughts to come across as kind of a motivational self-help seminar on you need to think positive thoughts. And, you know, if you think happy thoughts, then you'll paint happy little trees. And That's not my goal. Because we can talk about our thought life, and it goes far beyond, now hear me, it goes far beyond just thinking positively. Yes, that's important, but why? Well, it's important because we can try harder, we can try in our own strength, and we will never change. We've got to realize that the reason we can change, the reason we can think positively, is because of the gospel. The gospel is simply right that we are more sinful than we would ever care to admit, that we don't want to admit how sinful we are. God is more loving than we can ever imagine, and that yet in our sin, He saved us. That He took our sin upon Himself, that He, through His death and resurrection, we have been given new life. And not only that, we've been given new life, so we are now new creations in Christ, and we can live like Christ. And we're going through this process day by day, thought by thought, decision by decision, where He is shaping us and He is molding us to be the person that He wants us to be. He is shaping us and molding us to be more like Jesus. And so that process we're going through is what we're talking about this morning. It's not just, hey, let's all be happy. No, because you see, we're going to hit circumstances in life that will shake us to our very core. And how do we respond? Do we respond with peace? And do we respond with trust? Or do we respond with fear and anxiety and worry? For Mother's Day, I know that even when we start talking about your thought life, there are a lot of mothers that can be insecure sometimes because of all the messages that the world is blasting you with. And if that's you here this morning, I want you to know that you don't have, let's just be real. Who does it matter? Whose opinion really matters? God's, right? So you don't have to listen to the world. I read a quote from an article and it says, we all know, and this is a mom speaking. She said, we all know what motherhood is supposed to be. We're supposed to feel fulfilled, and sometimes we do, but we have this nagging sense that something's missing. Society keeps telling us that motherhood should fill us with joy, and sometimes it does, but we're also feeling anxious and overwhelmed. Can any of you relate to that? And it goes on to say that many women secretly worry that they're not good enough, or that they're not raising their kids in the right way, and if they don't parent perfectly, then they're just messing up their kids. And you know, I'm just thankful that, well, that there's counselors, because my kids will probably need them one day. But, you know, you think about this for a minute. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves, don't we? And we can kind of, in our thought life, can kind of get away from us sometimes. And we worry and we have anxiety. And if you are feeling, if you're here this morning, you're feeling that burden. If your mind is constantly saying, I don't know, and I'm worried, I want you to know that you can be freed this morning from that by the power of the gospel, not by trying harder, not by just thinking happy thoughts, but by the power of gospel, you can be changed. I read this week that we think 10,000 thoughts per day. It's a lot of thoughts. 10,000 thoughts per day. Now, you think each one of those thoughts will sometimes lead to action. Sometimes it'll lead to worry and stress, and that's a lot of thoughts. But how do we kind of manage those thoughts? If I gave you $10,000, and I mean, think about it. If I gave you $10,000, would you kind of step back and say, man, I want to use this to the best of my, I want to like budget out. I'm going to use this for this and this for this and this. And because I know once it's gone, it's gone. If we received $10,000, we would manage it very carefully. I would at least hope you would, right? And the same thing is true with our thought life. We have 10,000 thoughts for the day, and once they're gone, they're gone. So why don't we manage them in a way that honors God? Why don't we step back and kind of think about how we think? And that's what this morning is all about. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, beware of what you set your mind on, because that is what you surely will become. I like that. I also like Henry Ford kind of twisted it a little bit, and he gave it a different spin. He said, thinking is the hardest work in the world, which is probably why so few people engage in it. I like that one too. Thinking is hard work. And what you think about takes some intentionality in our life. And so I want to talk to you about our thoughts, which are so important in determining who we become. Solomon said it this way in Proverbs. He said, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And for all of us, we need to kind of step back and realize that. And this is the big thought for the day. The big picture is this. For your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. This is profound here. I know it's a simple statement, but we've got to come to the realization our life is always going to move in one direction or another, and it's going to move toward the direction of our strongest thoughts. In other words, if you go through life thinking, man, I can't do that, I'm not able to do that, then you're never going to do it, right? I mean, we know that intuitively when we think about that. If you go through life thinking, man, this day is terrible, I hate this week, I mean, then guess what? Your day is going to be bad, because that your life is going to move in that direction on what consumes your thought life. If you're struggling with an addiction and all you think about is that addiction, guess what? What you see time and time again with people who struggle with addiction, when that's all they focus on, where does their life go? Right back into that addiction, because your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And the opposite is exactly true, right? If we focus on, if we go through life thinking, man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today, it doesn't matter what happens, because no matter what happens, we say, God's in control, man. I can't wait to see how he's going to use this circumstance in my life. And that perspective on our life day by day is so important, because our life moves in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And so what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to give you a little test to see how you're doing this morning. Take out your worship guide. There's a little test on here, a thought test. I want to kind of give you a quiz just to get us thinking a little bit about our thought life here. There's kind of three rows here, and we'll kind of jump right in. And each row, you get to pick a number. And there's two opposing ideas here, and you just kind of circle the number closest to the thing that describes you. Let's take the first row, for example. The first row, let me get out here. The first row is worried or peaceful. So if you're worried, you're one of those people that just goes through life saying, I don't have any money. The bills are due. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm worried about this. And you just, no matter what, you go through life worried about everything. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about your spouse. You're worried about your job. Worry just consumes you. You're anxious. You're worried. On the other side is peaceful. And so some of you are peaceful. You're just going like, man, I just got a call today that I lost my job, but it's all right. It's all good. God's in control. I'm going to find a better job. And you just got that peace. It doesn't matter what life throws at you. You're like, it's okay. I'm at peace. And so those are the two kind of opposing things there. Then you've got kind of negative and positive. And negative people, it doesn't matter what it is. They're never happy. They see the bad in everything. And they're sitting there saying, you know, if I was just married, I'd be happy. And then they get married. And then they say, you know, if I just had kids, I'd be happy. And then they have kids and they're still not happy. And then they say, well, if I just had different kids, I would be happy. You know, that's a negative person. It doesn't matter what happens. They're going to say, man, it's just, you know, life. And they see everything through that perspective. And then a positive person is just like, man, I can't wait. You know, it's just that I'm excited. And you know, you've been around positive people. If you're that type of person who's just bubbly and positive about everything, we don't like you. Because you're hard to be around. Because we're like, I want to complain. I want to whine. And you won't let me. So a positive person is just, you know, that bubbly, happy, positive about everything. It doesn't matter what happens. Then you've got worldly and eternal. Worldly people are always thinking about what they wear. Worldly people are always taking out their phone and saying, I want to take a selfie. And, you know, it's worldly people are like consumed with what other people think about them and what they want and what they drive and what they wear. And that is a worldly person. On the other hand, an eternal perspective is somebody that's sitting there, you know, it doesn't matter what I wear. You know, I could use this money for this instead, and this would make an eternal difference. It doesn't matter where I go or what I look like or what people think about me. It matters what God thinks about me. That's an eternal perspective on life. And so kind of look at your scores, and I'm going to have you add them up here. If you got a 10, a 10, and a 10, well, you're lying. And if you didn't, then this service is for you. If you got anything, if you were honest and you got anything other than a 10, then this is for you. Because we're going to talk about how we can live life in the Spirit, how we can move closer to being a peaceful, positive, eternal person instead of a worried, negative, worldly person. You see the difference? Do you see why this is so important for us as believers to talk about change and transformation like this? And so I really just want to encourage you this morning to really let's think about how we think. This morning, the passage I want to start off with is Colossians 3, verse 1 through 3. And this really explains what I just discussed. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. What do? We set our hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. Get this. Your old life, it's gone. You are dead. But now your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We are new creations in Christ. We have been given a new heart. We are now new people with a new purpose. And so we have to realize if we want to change our thoughts, it doesn't start with trying harder. It starts with realizing our identity, who we are in Christ. We are now in Christ, and Christ is in us, and now we are living for Him. So a couple things this morning, and this is, again, simple, simple stuff, but it is so hard to do. A couple things. If we want to truly change the way we think, Very similar to last week, the two things we need to do. The first thing, we need to capture our destructive thoughts. We need to capture our destructive thoughts. What do I mean by this? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says it this way. We are human. We're right. I mean, hopefully all of us would agree with that. We're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts, and we teach them to obey Christ. We capture our thoughts. I don't know what type of mental image you get, but we all, would you agree with me, first of all, that we all get temptations in life? We all face temptations, and we know that. I mean, Jesus was tempted. I mean, we know that we're going to go through life. We're going to have temptations in life. So when we get those thoughts that come into our mind that we know shouldn't be there, how do we handle them? We capture them. I get this mental image like of cowboy. I grew up watching cowboy shows. Any of y'all? And so I get this mental image of like a cowboy with a big lasso just going out and lassoing it and reeling it back in, you know, and pulling it back in. That's the kind of image I get when I think of this word capture here. That when we have a thought like that, we have to just rope that thing and pull it in because we can't let it go wild. And that's so important. And when you get that and when you understand that, you realize that the big things in life, the big sins start with a series of little thoughts. Adultery doesn't happen overnight. It happens with a series of choices saying, I wonder what that person thinks about me. Oh, they care about me. They listen to me. And you just see yourself going closer and closer and closer and closer. And those choice by choice by choice, you let that thought run wild instead of capturing it. And it takes you somewhere you never planned to go. And we see that with so many sins, with addictions the same way. Addictions, you know, think, oh, it doesn't matter. I can stop. I'm in control of this. And the next thing you know, you're way over here because that thought took you somewhere you didn't want it to go because you never captured it. And I think when we really step back and realize it, we start seeing the importance of really being intentional about what we think. And there's five kinds of negative thinking I want to talk about this morning that we struggle with sometimes and that we've got to capture and we've got to recognize, we've got to identify, and we've got to do something about. The first kind is self-pity. The first kind of negative thinking, it's self-pity. And what do I mean by that? We fall into this trap sooner or later, I think most of us in life, and it's just simply, why me? Why me? I mean, really, I've been trying to do the right thing. I'm trying hard. And yet, God, you let this happen to me? Why? And we start feeling like we're the victim. And we start thinking, man, I can't believe this happened to me. And you don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know how sick I am. And we fall in that trap of man, you just constantly being overwhelmed and feeling sorry for ourselves. And that kind of leads into the next one, which is blaming. And blaming, what we're talking about here is, man, you kind of move into this and instead of now saying, why me? You start saying, you did it to me. Right? And we start saying, you did this to me. And we start blaming everybody else for the problems in our life. I mean, I would have a lot of money if it wasn't for the government taxing me. It doesn't matter what situation is. We find someone to blame. And we would say, oh man, you just, and we look for somewhere, we look for something to be the scapegoat for our problems. And so we blame. And so we self-pity, blaming. These are negative thoughts. We have to recognize, we have to identify. The next one's worry and anxiety. Then you fall into this trap of, man, I'm just worried about this, and you're anxious, and you're constantly in your mind, you're just thinking, I just don't know what to do. And you know what worry is? It's a lack of trust for God. It's saying, I'm in control of this, God. I don't need your help because my worrying, it's going to change this. Is that true? I mean, why? If you really think about worrying, it's just simply saying, God, you're not big enough to handle my problem. I can handle this on my own. And so how many of us are just consumed with worry and anxiety? How many of us are stressed out, overwhelmed? Because it's an issue of us not trusting God. We can handle it, God. We can handle this. And so when you start seeing what these are, when our thought life ends up in self-pity, it ends up in blame, it ends up in worry and anxiety, we got a problem. The next one is an unwillingness to change. I would call this kind of stubbornness. All sorts of words I could think for that. But this kind of follows from the other one. So it's kind of, you get to that point where you say, this is just who I am. This is the way God wired me. This is the way I'm made. I'm not going to change. Why should I change? And we get that chip on our shoulder and we say, you know, this is just, I've got every right to feel hurt. I've got every right to be mad. And so we find ourselves in this unwillingness to change, this bitterness. And then, of course, that leads into the last one, this anger and bitterness that just takes deep root in our life, where we're just mad at the world. And we find fault with everybody else. We think everybody's out to get us. And so when you look at these five things, would you agree with me that we don't need this in our life? Right? Self-pity, blame, worry, stubbornness, anger, bitterness. These are not what I would call the fruit of the Spirit. This is not the positive things in our... This is not the joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. No, this is a picture of negative things. This is a picture of the destructive thoughts that will tear our life apart if we don't capture them and make them obedient to Christ. We've got to guard our minds from the influence of this world. We've got to think clearly. I love what 1 Peter 1:13 says. It says, think clearly. The first step for us in this destructive thing, we've got to think clearly and exercise self-control. We've got to think clearly. Look forward to what the salvation that we have when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Jesus is coming back. Get ready. We've got something to look forward to. We proclaim his death until he comes again. But in the meantime, we've got to think clearly and we've got to exercise self-control. That is a picture of taking captive, destructive thoughts, making them obedient to Christ. Again, realizing what they are, realizing that they're not from God, that they're from the devil. The second thing we've got to do, we've got to focus on spiritual things. Got to focus on spiritual things. Think about this. The Holy Spirit is what enables us to live the life I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit, when we died to our old life, we were raised to walk in newness of life. We now have Christ living in us and Christ living through us. And so what we do when we recognize that, we learn our identity. What happens is we start living like Jesus because of who we are. Not because of what we have to do, but because of who we are, our identity. We've been given a new heart, right? And I've talked about that last week, that God took out our heart of stone. He's replaced it with a new heart. It's like we've been given a heart transplant. But guess what? We didn't get a new mind. We didn't get a brain transplant. Some of y'all need one, but we didn't get a brain transplant. We got a new heart, but our brain is still the same brain. So what happens? Christ has to rework. He has to transform the way we think from the old way of life to the new way of life. Thought by thought, day by day, action by action, choice by choice, desire by desire. What happens? We are transformed. Romans 12:1 and Romans 12:2 talk about that process. I shared that verse last week. Romans 12:2 says this, that we don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by what? By changing the way you think. See, our mind has to be transformed. And if we just go along with the rest of the world, what we miss out on is that transformation that God wants to do in your life. And then we find ourselves in the self-pity, the blame, the worry, the anger, the bitterness, the stubbornness. But when God transforms us, then we will learn to know what God's will is for us, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This transformation that takes place. If I want my mind to be full of life, I've got to pay attention to what I focus on. One of the greatest gifts that God has given us is Scripture, right? And yet, when I find myself just sitting around the house, when I find myself with just some downtime, is my mind constantly going back to the things of God, or is it going to, oh, man, I can't believe what I got to get done today. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do. Do y'all the same way? I mean, what do we focus on? Do we focus on spiritual things? Are we consumed with doubt, worry, self-pity, and blame? I mean, do you see the pattern here? We keep going back in life to destructive thoughts instead of to spiritual things. It's a constant effort to go back to the spiritual. Philippians 4:8 is the other verse I used last week. And again, a powerful verse. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. And focus them. Focus them right here on what is spiritual, on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Leave this verse up here for a minute because there's eight things in there. When we focus on spiritual things, what am I talking about? We're talking about living life in the Spirit. We're talking about this ever-increasing flow of Christ through us, and it looks like this. There's eight things. The first thing is it true? On what is true. What do I mean by that? So many times we get consumed by things that we think may happen that aren't true. We can come up with all sorts of scenarios in our head. I'm bad for this. I'll just admit my mind, if I'm seeing a relational conflict or I'm worried about something, I'm like, man, I think they're thinking this, or I wonder, and I let my mind get away from me. Do any of y'all do that? And you come up with all these different scenarios. You come up with, and you think all this stuff, and then you kind of just wake up and say, wait a minute, I'm making all this stuff up. That's not real life. It's not true. Focus on what is true. We've got to focus on what is true. We don't need to make things up. So the first thing, when our thoughts come out, do they have that ring of truth to them? I mean, can you just tell that this is true? This is what I need to focus. Then is it honorable? Some translations say noble. And so this idea of reverence, this word is used to describe a leader of the church, an elder of the church, so that they are honorable. So it has to do with their reputation. And so this idea of your thoughts, are our thoughts about those things that are noble and honorable and people look up to? That's the idea here. Is it right? This means, does it line up with God's standard? Not does it line up with what I think? And I'm amazed at people all the time. They'll say, oh, this ain't wrong. I don't have a problem with this. Well, it doesn't matter if you have a problem with it. Does it matter if God has a problem with it? So is it right? Does it conform to God's standard? Is it pure? This word means undefiled, clean, and holy. Is your thought life clean? In other words, is your mind in the gutter? Because if you're rolling around in a gutter, you're going to get pretty slimy every time, right? So is your mind clean? Is it pure? Is it holy? Are you focused on, are you a person that can be described as being pure in heart? Or are you constantly thinking about things that aren't pure? Is it lovely? The word here, it's got a sense of like magnetism that people are drawn to, or the thought is drawn that way towards that of love. It's like a magnet drawing metal to it. I mean, this idea of love that people are just drawn to. And so that's the type of love it's describing here. It's the only place that it's used in the New Testament is right here. So this idea of lovely, that it's people are drawn to it. And then that it's admirable. Again, it's worthy of study and contemplation. It means it's positive, not negative. I mean, it's just thinking, man, people would admire this. I mean, you start thinking about your thoughts, and then things that are excellent. Your thoughts, are they consumed with moral excellence and going above and beyond what God has called you to do? Or do you just settle and worthy of praise? I mean, this is an incredible list here. When we start thinking the thoughts in our head, do we match them up to this and say, okay, are they true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? That's a great way for us to start this process of taking captive our destructive thoughts. Because when we compare our thoughts to this, it quickly reveals whether our thoughts are from God or from Satan. And we have to realize that. So these things, this is the power of positive thinking right here. This is the power. When we think about these things, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about power, the positive thinking. Romans 8 says it this way. I love this passage. Romans 8 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature, it's always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. And so let me just ask, do you want a life of life and peace and joy and happiness? Do you want a life characterized by Philippians 4:8? Or do you want a life characterized by evil thoughts, by a constant struggle? Do you want a life characterized by thoughts that lead to sinful actions? See, we all face temptation. And the great thing is God says that we will never be tempted beyond what we can bear, right? There's always going to be a way of escape. We're going to have these temptations. God is always going to give us a way out, and we've got to realize that. This morning, I want to get your mind thinking about this. I want you to be aware that what happens day by day, those small things that we kind of just sweep under the rug, they make a huge difference in our life. I was reading a book by John Ortberg this week, and this is what he said. He kind of challenged everybody. He said, try a thought experiment. Imagine not being afraid anymore. Imagine facing financial difficulties or an irate boss with inner poise and resolve. Imagine receiving bad news and generating constructive ways to solve the problem rather than spiraling through the worst case scenarios. Imagine facing rejection and obstacles without giving in to discouragement. Imagine acknowledging the mistakes you have made, but yet moving confidently into the future. Imagine doing all of this with God as your partner and friend. Now imagine people around you coming to you when they are upset or discouraged, because they find that your peace of mind is contagious. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And what you are imagining is your mind immersed in the Spirit's flow. See, for so many of us, we read that and we hear that and we say, well, I mean, if I get bad news, I'm going to be mad. If I face rejection, I'm going to get defensive. If I make a mistake, I'm going to cover it up. That's the natural bent of our heart. But what we're saying here is when you live life in the Spirit, when you live in the Spirit's flow, what happens is the way you respond to adversity changes. The way you respond to problems changes. And you start taking captive every thought, and you start becoming more like Jesus. So what we do, we let the Word of God be our guide. We let those things that are true and honorable and holy and pure and praiseworthy and excellent, all those things, that starts shaping the way we think, starts shaping the way we live. It's not positive thinking. It's godly thinking. It's taking everything and bringing it back and viewing it against Scripture. So I just want to tell you again, who you will be in the future, it's a result of what you think in the present. Because your life is always going to move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And maybe you've heard this saying, but I've seen it numerous times before. But if it's sow a thought, you reap an action. And if you sow an action, you reap a habit. And if you sow a habit, you reap a destiny. And so this morning, you know, as we get ready to close out this morning, I just want to challenge you a little bit. To evaluate your thought life. Are you worried? Are you anxious? Are you stressed? Are those things, do they dominate your life? Are you a person of peace, of joy, and of life? That's really what it comes down to this morning. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up. And you guys, would you go to the Lord in prayer with me this morning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, I pray that we can all evaluate our thoughts. Do our thoughts honor you, or do they honor ourselves? We fight a constant battle in our life of selfishness, of wanting more, of needing more, of thinking about ourselves, and yet you have called us to think about others. You've called us to live in our life in devotion and service to others. So this morning, I pray that you would help us overcome these feelings of self-pity and blame and worry and anxiety and anger and bitterness. And you would replace those, Lord, with this fruit of the Spirit, with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. And Lord, that's who we want to be. So this morning, help us acknowledge our own mistakes. Help us acknowledge our own sin. Help us acknowledge where we have fallen short and the way we think. Help us to take captive every thought and make it obedient to you. Lord, I pray for each person in this room, just that as I've spoken this morning, that there would be one thing in their life that they would just acknowledge, that they would recognize and say, this is what I'm going to work on this week. I'm going to take this. I see it for what it is, as a temptation straight from the devil. And I'm going to replace it with something holy and pure and perfect. Lord, we come to you this morning knowing that you want to change us, that the power of the gospel is that while we are more sinful than we would ever admit, you are more loving than we can ever imagine. And because you love us so much that Jesus died to take our sin, to take our punishment. And you have replaced that. You've replaced our sin with your righteousness. And so we can stand before you holy and blameless. Lord, this morning I pray for the people in this room. One, that the most important choice, the most important thought, the most important thing we can ever do in life is to surrender our life to you. And we would just acknowledge you as our Lord and our Savior. That we would just call out to you, cry out to you for salvation. I love what Romans 10:13 says, that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, he's the Lord of our life, he's our master. When we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. So this morning, Lord, I pray for those in this room. If they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that right now would be their opportunity just to, between them and God, just to acknowledge their sin, to cry out to you, to place their belief, their trust, their faith in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. When we do that, you hear our prayer, you hear our cry, and you change us, you transform us, you give us a new heart and a new life. Lord, we thank you this morning for this time we have, for this powerful, powerful time of worship that makes us think about you and brings us to the place to be thankful of who you are and what you've done in our life. And as we close out this morning, Lord, would you just continue to work in us throughout this week, bringing us closer to you and making us think more like Jesus. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we close out this morning. There's a communication card and a seat back. If you're visiting with us, we ask that you fill that out. Or if there's any type of commitment you need to make, fill that out. We are having a baptism coming up. You can let us know in that if you're interested in that. As always, we'll be over to the side if you need to pray, you need to talk, got any questions. But let's all stand up and let's close in worship this morning.
Dark.
darkness tremble in your holy light. Let every eye who see Jesus our God, great and mighty to be praised. God of all.
With everything, we will shout for.
with everything, we will shout for your glory. With everything, we will shout forth your praise.
Father God, we praise you with everything. We thank you for all your blessings, Lord. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for this time of worship, and we ask that you would go with us through this week. Help us to capture our thoughts and make them pleasing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.